In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, brothers and sisters, on this day that we also commemorate St. Nina, equal to the Apostles, we have the reading about the parable of the 10 virgins. Now, this parable begins like many of the Lord's parables. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto. And then he explains. The key to understanding the parable, or one of the keys, is the very beginning. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto. In other words, this is the way you must live if you are to attain the kingdom. And this is the way you must be. And this is how you will be if you are in the kingdom. It can mean any of those things. Now, the 10 virgins are virtuous women. Let virginity be a sort of a catch-all for all virtue, all goodness. And they took lamps with them to meet the bridegroom. Those lamps are our life, our body, our soul, our vessel. And the bridegroom, of course, is Christ. Now, some were wise and some were foolish. And the parable will explain clearly why they were wise and foolish. The bridegroom tarried for a little while. In the parable, what this is meant to mean is our lifetime. The living of our life. It might be long for most, short for some, but the bridegroom tarries. It can have a double meaning. Of course, the bridegroom is coming at the end of the age. But for us, in essence, we live our life and then the bridegroom comes, because then comes death and there is no repentance after death. So for us, the bridegroom comes at the end of our life, which may be a long time. This is what the tarrying means, the waiting. Then he comes at midnight, way, way into the night, early morning. And this is to signify that we don't know when he comes. The virgins, the good ones and the bad ones, the wise and the foolish, because they were all good now. This is very important to know. They were all good. But only five were saved. The wise and the foolish were sleeping. This will happen to us too. We don't know when the Lord comes. We have our good days and our bad days. Our sleepy days and our awake days. But then the Lord comes. But this parable is meant to show an overall state of preparation for the bridegroom. Not by microsecond and microsecond, but overall, what is the intent of our life? What are we trying to do in our life? What is our priority in our life? All the good virgins did not come into the wedding feast. And the wedding feast is the end of the age, salvation. Some were left out, and they were confused why. This is why. St. Seraphim speaks of this parable, and it's spoken of by other fathers as well, that the oil, some people think of oil as good works. No, no. All of the virgins were good. Virginity is a great virtue, and this virginity is, like I said, meant to... meant to sort of be a catch-all for all virtues. So they were good. So the oil is not virtues. The oil is the grace of the Holy Spirit. So the parable is teaching us that you can't get to heaven by being good. The apostle says, by faith ye are saved through grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. It's a paraphrase, but that's not exactly what it says. But that's basically it. You can't get to heaven by being good. But you must be good to get to heaven. Because this goodness will come from acquiring the Holy Spirit. Many people think that Christianity is some sort of legalistic contract. If you can be good enough, then you can be in heaven. This is not true at all. You can't be good enough to go to heaven. But if you do not do good, you won't go to heaven. Does this sound like a paradox? Not for the Christian who lives. Because if we look at the epistle that is appointed for this day, the apostle says to let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in wisdom. So the point of our life is not to be good, not to follow the commandments. The point of our life is to have the peace of God, and that's the oil, that is the Holy Spirit, to dwell richly in our hearts. This is what we were made for. And the Holy Spirit reveals all things. So if we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, and we have Christ dwelling richly within us, then we would know God. This is the point of our life. And the five virgins that were foolish did not understand this. Now, isn't it interesting that when the bridegroom comes and everybody wakes up, so far there's no difference between the virgins at all. No apparent difference. But then one becomes very apparent. The five have their lamps that are going out. And they say to the wise ones, give us some oil. Now some might say, whoa, what happens? If these are good virgins, then why would they say, oh no, we're not going to give to you, because there might not be enough for us and you. You have to go out to those who sell and get some for yourselves. This is just a fact of life. I can't give the Holy Spirit to anybody, buddy. Nor can you. So the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, we can't give to someone else. They have to obtain the Holy Spirit by their labors, by their desiring to have the peace of God dwell richly in their hearts. It can't be given by another man. This is similar to that, the meaning of the priest and the Levite passing by the person who was attacked by robbers on the way from Jerusalem to Jericho. And the Samaritan was the only one who could give him oil and wine. The only one that could take care of him. Because the priest and the Levite are just men. And the ministrations of men do not save. Only God saves. Some people misinterpret that parable to think, oh, the priest and the Levite were not charitable. It's not what it's meant to mean. We cannot save. God saves. I can't give the Holy Spirit to anybody, nor can you. We obtain the Holy Spirit by our labors and by our desire especially. Because if desire is not coupled to labor, then we obtain nothing. Because the parable shows you can be good and not be saved. There's a lot of good people out there. You know any good atheists? I do. Any moral people who don't go to church, don't believe in God? I do. That doesn't save us. Desire to have God dwell within us, coupled with action, which of course includes our faith in God, this is what saves us. So the wise virgins told the foolish ones, good advice. We can't give you anything. But you can get it. You can go to those who sell. And who are those who sell? The rest of mankind. If you look carefully in the Gospels, our Lord Jesus Christ speaks more about our relationship with ourselves, with us, with humankind, rather than with God. He's constantly telling us how we should act with one another. St. John took this teaching to heart. He says, if we cannot love our neighbor whom we have seen, how can we love God whom we have not seen? The test of a Christian, if he loves God, is if he loves others. Because this love for God would lead to loving others. So those who sell are the rest of mankind, especially the poor, but everyone. Do you think of it this way? Do you think that you're making a transaction when someone is really bothering you? When someone is really getting on your nerves? When someone is slandering you or something is happening in your life that is very uncomfortable or unpleasant for you or unfair or completely unjustified? Do you think of this interaction with that person as a transaction where you are buying for yourself the grace of the Holy Spirit? Because that's what you're doing if you're living as a Christian. Because that person is selling you something, although they perhaps don't know it. They're selling you grace. We obtain grace through effort, through desire, and especially through being kind to one another. Especially those who are not kind to us. Those are the people that are really selling us the Holy Spirit. These wise virgins gave good advice. But unfortunately, although the advice was good, the timing did not allow for those who had lived their life foolishly to be able to obtain the grace of the Holy Spirit before their death, before the bridegroom came and the door was shut. They went out to obtain the grace of the Holy Spirit, but they didn't have enough time. The question is, how much time do you and I have? And that is an answer that only God knows. At the end of the parable, the Lord says, "Watch therefore, for ye neither know the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Don't let this parable be only a warning. For some, it's only a warning. You must be alert at all times. Well, you know what? The virgins, all 10 of them, were not alert at all times. Some of them were. All of them were asleep at some point. The watching is the overall focus of your life, the overall direction of how you live. What is important to you? What is not important to you? It will become evident in the end. What should be important is every day you should be like a trader. You should be trading your effort for the grace of the Holy Spirit. Not because you can do something that makes you deserve God. That's a foolish idea. That's refuted many, many times in the Scriptures. A reference especially the Epistle of James. It's not possible. But everything you do in your life should have purpose. And there should be only one purpose. You should do many things, but only for one reason. And that is to acquire oil for your lamps. The grace of the Holy Spirit. It matters not just what we do, but why we do it. And the reason should always be to obtain grace of God. You know, I've told you a lot of times, I guess one of my things is to kind of take pieces of the Scripture and to think of them as sort of anthems or reminders, mnemonic devices. I guess it's sort of the equivalent of Orthodox proof texting. And I think this parable can be like that, the entire parable. How are you going to live your life? Don't just try to be good. That's not going to help you. And don't just say that you believe in God, because the demons believe in God and they perish. But let everything you do in your life be to obtain the grace of God. Because God has promised that that's what will happen. Through our efforts, small as they may be, poor as they may be, feeble as they may be, God still gives grace to those who make an effort to love Him and desire from Him grace in return. We should have this attitude in whatever we do. I've talked many times, when you read the Scriptures, read them with expectation.
What is it that God wants to tell you? What is it that God will do to help you today? When you come to the Holy Liturgy, or to all of the services, come with expectation that this thing that you are doing, standing and listening, and sometimes sleeping, sometimes not paying attention, sometimes being concerned with worldly things and everything else, but trying to absorb the grace of God. And expect the grace of God to be given to you. Expect the oil of the Holy Spirit to fill you. And therefore then to have the peace and the wisdom of God flowing in your heart abundantly. It really matters how we think about things. Because really how we think about things is how we are. So, let your life be a continual pursuit of the oil of the Holy Spirit. Not just by being good, but by an effort of your will and especially the priorities of your life, such that you would always be attempting to let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let that peace of God direct you. Let the Holy Spirit direct you about how you should live, what you should say, what you should do, how you should feel, who you should be. And if you do this, then you'll be like those five wise virgins. And you will have enough oil in your lamps so that when the bridegroom comes, he will recognize you. Notice what he said to the five foolish ones? I don't know you. He said the same thing to them as to those at the end of the chapter of Matthew, those who had not done good, those who said, oh Lord, when were you hungry? When were you thirsty? When were you naked? When were you in prison? When were you in sick? I don't know when you were those things. When didn't we help you? And the Lord said that when you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. Those were ones who actually didn't do good. And what did he say to them? I don't know you. And what did he say to the ones who did good, but did not attempt to let the peace of God dwell richly in their hearts? I don't know you. So, if we are to be known by God, let us do good with the expectation and the hope, the blessed hope, that God will fill us richly with the oil of His Holy Spirit, so that the peace of God would dwell richly within us. Amen.